その時私たちは飛行機の飛んでるの、友達とどこだろう帰って上を向いて眺めてたんです。
They were looking up at, in the sky, trying to spot the airplane.
そしてピカッと光ったから私はふせたような気持ちがします。
But and then she thought that there was a very big flash in the sky, so she hit her face on the ground.
そうすると、その瞬間に飛ばされたような気がします。
で、she remembers that she must have been blown away by the impact.
そして意識が回復した時には、あたりの人は、あたりにいた友達がほとんど影を姿が見えませんでした。
And when she regained her consciousness, she couldn't find most of her friends. They were either blown to bits or burnt or.
そして私の全身を見ますとパンティ一枚残っていて、そして今ケロイドとして残っていたところは皮膚が皮膚が50センチぐらい下がっておりました。
She says that all her clothes were torn away except the very undergarment, and her skin where she has all her burns, the skin was just peeled off and hanging from her body. And she has that on her arms and legs and on her face.
そしてもう全身が熱かったので、近くの川へ飛び込みました。
And she said to, it was so, such an intense heat that she jumped into the nearby river, the small river that was running through the city.
すると友達が顔だけ、海水から顔だけ出して、お母さん助けてくれ、お母さん助けてくれと言って泣き叫んでおりました。
She said that her friends were in the river. I don't think I can see it.
That's kind of 9 or 10-year-old child being gravely concerned about the fact that he's not going to be living in 10 or 15 years because of this atomic war that's coming up. This is the frightening part to me. Heck, when I was 9 or 10 years old, I was wondering if
you were greedy.
Jesus, is the planet going to have polywogs in it this year or not? You know, something like this. But here, these kids are wondering, am I going to be alive?
It bothered them. It really did. And to have these remarks come out at home out of a clear blue sky, well, I wish I'd never been born. Oh, it's frightening. No, she just said, well, if the bomb is going to hit, I'm going to enjoy life while I can. I'll do what I please. Oh, what an answer. And what do you say?
And how old is she? 10?
9.
9.
I remember we talked a little about the guys, you know, thinking over different things, you know, putting down their head sometimes, and going back, saying, thinking over some memories. Well, what do you think? What are some of the things they think about, or what are some of the things they worry about? What are some of the things that the guys worry about?
I don't know.
they ever worry about what's going to happen to you when you grow older?
We were born to die, that's all.
You were born to die?
Yeah.
What about in between the time you're born and the time you die?
Born to die? What about in between the time you're born and the time you die? Man is a long time coming. To paraphrase the old Chicago poet, man may yet win. Brother may yet line up with brother. Who can live without hope? In the darkness, with a great bundle of grief, the people march. In the night, and overhead, a shovel of stars for keeps, the people march. Where to? What next? Two drummers on the island of Ceylon engaged in percussive battle.
It's a favorite pastime of the people on a Sunday afternoon after work, for example. You will find drummers trying to outdo one another.
How does the audience decide who wins, by the applause?
No, they themselves come together. That's the beauty of it. The two drummers, finding that one cannot outdo the other, they'll come together and play a final duet together.
Oh, that's marvelous. Then it isn't a question of one beating the other. They finally meet. And they merge their strengths, fuse their strengths, or their arts.
I think that's also an old tradition of a comradely feeling, you see, that you won't allow. You have the competition, but at the end, both meet on equal terms.
An American art critic observing a Goya hanging in the Prado.
This picture of the two men clobbering each other in the quicksand in the valley at the Prado is, first of all, a horrible picture, a shocking picture. After that, you begin to see it within the context of this magnificent landscape, all silver, somber, magnificently harmonious thing, and in the midst of it are these two bloody idiots. And you see that if you could only get through to them somehow and tell them what they're doing and how they are denying by their very action the beauty and the harmony and the mystery that surrounds them. They're denying the fact that they're equally children of God, equally brothers. Somehow they would recognize what Goya so poignantly makes you realize in looking at the picture.
My father and my mother were quite sincere in believing in human dignity, in democracy, in the Christian beliefs of brotherhood, fellowship, love, mercy, justice, that sort of thing. And yet, at the same time, they accepted the what I call the ritual of segregation, just as though it were something immovable. And you had to be as decent as possible, you know, within this immovable something. And so I would go to church, and as a small child, and I was a rather critical small child, and I'd hear about Christian brotherhood, and of course, and none of my little Negro friends were at church. And I would come home and say, why? Why? And always the questions were gently unanswered.
The voice of a novelist from the Deep South.
And when I would say, why, and say it too much, they would say, when you're older, you will understand. Now, that was the part where it began to really work in my mind, and I began to feel that part of my mind was segregated from another part of my mind. There was a great split there, you see. A great chasm had already entered my mind. And so I was believing something, and I was not living it. And that began to disturb me very much. Although in many ways I was just a kid, just a gay, funny, a ridiculous child. But in many ways I was asking what I always speak of as the great questions. Who am I? Where am I going? What is death? Who is God? Why am I here? And sometimes I think I worried my mother very much because I said, Mother, why are you my mother? Here now we all ask, children ask, and the Greeks ask, and existential philosophers ask, and every thoughtful person, who am I?
The voice of a novelist from Paris.
So when I was young, I misunderstood the importance of the external world. I believed you can just do what you want and think what you think by yourself. And little by little, I learned that my own ideas was the reflection of things going around me, that my whole life was the reflection of a lot of things going on in the world, that I was not at all a lonely person, and I did not invent and create my own self, myself, but it was in a most part of it was just given, and it was depending about circumstance very much, and that was the war, which was a big revelation about all that. And when going deeper and deeper in the experience given by the war, I discovered the tightness of the ties which tie me to the whole world.
The effort, it seems to me, is to, if you can examine and face your life, you can discover the terms in which you're connected to other lives, and they can discover, too, the terms in which they're connected to other people.
The voice of a young novelist from Harlem.
It's happened to every one of us, I'm sure, you know, that one has read something which you thought only happened to you, and you discover that it happened 100 years ago to Dostoevsky. And this is a very great liberation, you know, for the suffering, struggling person who always thinks that he's alone.
For the rocks and mountains, you weep. For the rocks and mountains, you weep. For the rocks and the mountains, when the stars begin to fall.
A singer from South Africa remembers her mother.
Yes, she never went to school. All she did was work. All her life. She started working when she was about 10 years old. They used to work in, she was born in Swaziland. And to be able to live on a farm, they had to work for the white man who owns the farm. So that they didn't get paid. They just worked for a place to live.
Yet your mother, you say, who had no schooling, no education, knew these songs.
Oh, yes, she knew most of them. Some of them are not as old as she would be, but most of them are. And she used to work for these white people. She spoke very good Afrikaans, which is Dutch. And she spoke English very fluently. You would never know she never went to school.
An elderly sharecropper from Tennessee laughingly answers a question about her capacity for work.
Did I cut trees? I wish you'd see the trees I cut. You know, I want to tell you one thing. If you think I'm telling you a story, go in the neighborhood down there. Now, my sister had a little boy. He named Willie Shelton. He yet lived down there on the place. And he used to haul the wood. He was about 10 years old. He wasn't large enough to do much cut. I'd cut, and he'd haul. And he'd give me half of the wood. I'd cut 5 loads of wood every day. 5 loads, he hauled it. He hauled two loads and a half to my house and 2 loads and a half to his house. That's how I got my wood. I'd cut it. Yeah, cut big. Couldn't hardly meet your arm around. Wouldn't take me long. I'll tell you, I'm a good actor. You ought to know. You don't know what good work in me. I can yet do it. I can yet work.
And a Chicago poet quietly recalls her friend's capacity for life.
Vit, of course that wasn't her name, was a friend of mine who had that irrepressibility that just seems unconfinable, even in death. And that's why I wrote, carried her unprotesting out the door, kicked back the casket stand, but it can't hold her, that stuff and satin aiming to enfold her, the lid's contrition nor the bolts before. Oh, oh, too much, too much. Even now, surmise, she rises in the sunshine. There she goes, back to the bars she knew, and the repose in love rooms, and the things in people's eyes. Too vital and too squeaking, must emerge. Even now she does the snake hips with a hiss, slops the bad wine across her shantung, talks of pregnancy, guitars, and bridge work, walks in parks or alleys, comes happily on the verge of happiness, happily hysterics, is.
Oh, yeah.
And a bottle of beer. Send me gay. I don't care. I feel just like I want a clown. Give the beer to play a drink because he's bringing me down. He's got a rhythm. Yeah. When he's so
operatic basso buffo remembers a celebrated colleague of the past who was known for his lust for life as well as for his artistry.
He is the most great actor, the most great personality.
He was.
I know in the world, yes. When you sing the Boris, yes, I have many, many Boris around, good, more good, or less good. Mm-hmm. But Shalyapin remained the meister. He go down in the street, near to that, with the skeletric figures, I remember, he attacked the monologue with one little brace of voice. He's trembling on the stage because he's near to fall down. And many Boris today ex, oh, triste il cor. What kind of sick man is this? He's not sick at all.
In other words, he actually felt the role. He wasn't just a singer, he was an actor.
He's not a singer, he's not an actor. Shalyapin, when they play Boris, is Boris.
He was Boris, yes.
Oh, that's marvelous. What I loved about that, what I loved about that, was when Helena was telling it, she was laughing at the same time, exactly what he does. As he's telling you a story, he's just laughing at it at the same time.
Well, he's really saying there's no place on earth like the world.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, he means that. He really means that.
In spite of fence that anybody would think we didn't have that over there.
Yes. Isn't that the essence of that song? In that song, there's no place on earth he like the world.
That's it.
Sing it.
No place.
Oh,
please.
This sums up exactly.
Let's sing it.
What is that?
No place on earth.
All right, then.
There's no place on earth like the world.
May we all start again?
Let's start again.
It sounds as though we're just flinging this
off. We are.
All right.
There's no place on earth like the world. There's no place wherever you be. There's no place on earth like the world. That's straight up and take it from me. Never throw stones at your mother. You'll be sorry for it when she's dead.
And never throw stones at your mother. Throw bricks at your father instead.
Don't think we did that proudly.
It's very bad, yeah.
I don't think anybody else.
The voices of laughing men and laughing women, and the tellers of tales, tall and short.
You know, once, long, long, long ago, there was a little boy, and he liked to play the ukulele. Clink, clink, clink. He was always playing the ukulele all over the place. But you know, the grown-ups say, get away, we're working here. Go off by yourself. You're getting in our way.
The boy's father was a magician. He had a little magic wand. Zoop, zoop, make things disappear.
I'm sorry to say I don't know much about telling stories.
Gradually, now in my 41 years, I've just barely learned how to just a little bit tell a story, but it's taken me all of this time to learn. A child learns how to talk, and they talk all the time. A man buys an automobile, and he rides and forgets how to use his legs. And the fact is, let's face it, printing was invented, and a lot of people forgot how to tell stories. You don't need to tell stories to your children at night. You buy them a 25-cent book at the local drugstore, or buy them a phonograph record, or switch on the radio or TV. You don't have to use your brains anymore. You don't have to make music, obviously. You don't have to be an athlete anymore. You can turn on the TV and watch the best athletes in the world. Watch them use their muscles, and you sit back and grow a pot belly. You don't need to be witty anymore. You turn on the TV and watch an expert be witty. You don't need to be witty anymore. And of course, the crowning shame of it all is for man and wife to sit back and watch the expert lover pretend to make love on this little screen there.
I don't ever intend to make my peace with such a world. There's something much more important than Cadillacs, Frigidaires, and IBM machines. You know, and precisely one of the things wrong is this notion that IBM machines and Cadillacs prove something. People are always telling me how many bought Cadillacs last year. You know, and it terrifies me. You know, I always wonder, is this what you think the country is for? You know, and do you think this is really what I came here and suffered and died for? You know, a lousy Cadillac?
Because we love the world, we pray now, O Father, for grace to quarrel with it. O thou whose lovers quarrel with the world is the history of the world.
An American university chaplain offering a prayer during commencement exercises.
Grant us grace to quarrel with the worship of success and power, with the assumption that people are less important than the jobs they hold. Grant us grace to quarrel with a mass culture that tends not to satisfy but exploit the wants of people. To quarrel with those who pledge allegiance to one race rather than the human race. Lord, grant us grace to quarrel with all that profanes and trivializes and separates men.
In South Africa, if you don't have a sense of humor, it would be difficult to survive with all what's going on there. Every once in a while, maybe once a year, we have a big feast where we slaughter a cow or maybe two sheep, and we cook and invite all our neighbors and the people around us to meditate to their our great grandfathers and mothers who died, and ask them to ask the Lord to help us go on living. And then the people eat and drink and they dance, and then they go back to their homes. And so we sing and we're happy, we try.
Oh, 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 oh. After so many years, you know, in prisons and camp, and after so many years of this constant humiliation, and the SS tried to convince us that there is no hope for us, we really started to believe that there is no hope for us.
A former inmate of the Ravensbrück concentration camp.
We tried to believe that there would be a liberation someday. We tried and convinced ourselves and tried to cheer up the weaker ones that we are sure the Americans or the British or the Red Army would come very soon to liberate us. But it was so long, you know. Every day for us was like a year. And we just, I think I would be right to say that we just lost the hope. We tried to convince ourselves that we hope, but we really didn't. I couldn't imagine that I could lie in a bed again, that I would have a breakfast again, and have lunch, and be a human being, and walk on the street, and listen to music, and perhaps lie in a hospital bed and die like a normal human being. I think there were simple people, German people, who believed that they are the Herrenrasse, the
master race.
They were the people, and we were just Untermenschen.
So traurig ging, ein Märchen aus alten Zeiten, das kommt mir nicht aus dem Sinn.
We feel we are guilty. We feel guilty because you are, we have not the power to do what we want, or to prevent others to do what we don't want, and we feel sad because of all that. And then chiefly because we have felt the occupation, and we have hated the Nazi when they tortured and oppressed us, and we were in the resistance. We don't understand the people who have been in the resistance now do exactly the same thing to the Algerian that the German made for us. That's very difficult to understand. That's not understandable, and anyhow, we don't accept it.
Liberté, liberté sérieuse.
The parts of our nature that are torn open the wound that must not be healed. You know, in a sense, is what I like to write about. But they would like to say this wound has been healed. Therefore, we don't have to even read anymore about it. And this is very interesting about the people, isn't it? They want to be on the side of truth without ever facing truth. They want to be on the side of virtue without ever knowing what virtue is.
Oh, sinner, what will you do? Oh, sinner, what will you do? Oh, sinner, what will you do? When the stars begin to fall.
その時、私たちは飛行機の飛んでるの、友達と。
They were looking up in the sky, trying to spot the airplane.
そしてピカッと光ったから、私は伏せたような気持ちがします。
But and then she thought that there was a very big flash in the sky, so she put her face on the ground.
Heck, when I was 9 or 10 years old, I was wondering if
you were greedy.
Jesus, is the pond going to have pollywogs in it this year or not? You know, something like this. But here, these kids are wondering, am I going to be alive?
It bothered them. It really did. And to have these remarks come out at home, out of a clear blue sky. I wish I'd never been born. Oh, it's frightening. No, she just said,
glory, glory, rise and shine, and if you've got the glory, glory, rise and shine, and if you've got the glory, glory, to win the fight.
They were worried about what's going to happen to you when you grow older.
You were born to die, that's all.
You were born to die?
Yeah.
What about in between the time you're born and the time you die?